Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. So let's start off by describing a scenario, one that I've heard recounted numerous times from people across Africa. You're walking down a street or just going about your business in any given city or town or village in Africa. When you encounter a young American or European, and you strike up a conversation out of curiosity on who this guest to your area is, and the person tells you that they are here to work as volunteers in your area. And the obvious follow-up to that question is, what is a volunteer and what do they do? But most importantly, how do I become a volunteer? Lots of questions. So let's start off by explaining briefly the concept of volunteerism. In short, volunteering simply means that you're providing your own resources, including your time and your skills, to benefit other people or another community. So when you volunteer, you do it without expectation of any financial gain or reward. The UN says that globally, millions of volunteers are giving their time to make a difference on the issues that affect them and their communities. And some of these volunteers often have to work in the most difficult of circumstances. And the other important question that many people ask about volunteerism is this a foreign concept? Do Africans volunteer? And the answer to that is yes. Volunteerism is very much an African concept in the sense that many African societies believe in that shared value of community support and social relationships that are often developed through shared voluntary action. The UN says that volunteerism is a social behavior that is very much affected by factors such as geography, such as age, or other socioeconomic and political realities. And these factors also partly explain why you have not seen many local African volunteers working in Africa. But the good news is that that is changing. Volunteer organizations such as CoAfrica, my next guests on the show today, are providing young Africans with the opportunity to volunteer in Africa. The founder of CoAfrica, Liz Fanning, joins us on the show today from New York. And in the studio with me is Limani Kamanga. Limani is from Malawi. He was on the cohort of the first volunteers for CoAfrica. He will talk to us about his experience as a volunteer, a Malawian volunteer in Malawi, volunteering in a community in Malawi. Stay tuned. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Let's start off by listening to your tech on our show today.
Yes, as a community member, like in my area, I do have a responsibility, especially where cleanliness and sanitation are concerned, because I like it when people are in a clean environment. It's healthy. Making sure that the area around me is clean, by gathering rubbish, you can gather members around, collect family members in that area, and they gather rubbish around that area, they burn it, they make sure that the trenches are clean, they remove the dirty things, the polythenes, the papers, and making sure that, you know, toilets are clean.
No, I don't have. Such responsibilities are there, but people want to be consulted about before doing something. A person should do something. If he or she sees something bad, he or she must take a hand on it. It's not that the person responsible, you should go to first, then seek for permission and then do this.
No, I'm busy with my work schedule. As my work schedule, it's so busy, so I just don't have time for that. You know, people always blame the government for everything. Me, I don't believe that. I don't think the government is involved in that. It's the people themselves. It's me, myself. It's just me.
Welcome back. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thanks to all of you who contributed your opinions on the show today. We're talking about volunteerism and how young Africans can volunteer in their communities. And on the show with me today is Limani Kamanga. He's a young volunteer from Malawi. He's joining me in the studio. On the phone is Liz Fanning. She's the founder of CoAfrica. Our organization recruits and places young Africans in remote areas and remote communities around the African continent. Liz, thank you very much for joining us. And thank you, Limbani, for joining us, both of you, on our show today. Let me start off with you, Liz. Can you tell our listeners what Core Africa is and what inspired you to start it?
Well, sure. It was inspired by my Peace Corps service in Morocco 25 years ago, and I would meet educated young Moroccans who would ask me if they could do what I was doing, if they could help their own country as a Peace Corps volunteer. And I had to tell them that it was only for Americans. So that's really the main inspiration, just to give young Africans the same opportunity that Americans have to serve in rural communities and help people in their own country.
I have Limbani here. Limbani Kamanga is the first cohort of Core Africa volunteers in Malawi. How did you recruit him?
First year in Malawi, we reached out to Peace Corps volunteers who knew young people who would be good volunteers. Mm. We worked with NGO partners, asking them to refer people, the alumni or the career office for universities in Malawi, and, of course, Facebook.
Limbani, thank you very much for joining us here in studio. Tell us your experience working as the first cohort of Core Africa. What did you do as a volunteer?
Thank you for having me. Well, I did a couple of things, but like I think the starting point is like the way Core Africa like prepares volunteers is that you have to go there not with like, you know, preconceived answers. So first of all, you just go in there. Of course, you're trained in, like, you know, skills like human-centered design. Mm-hmm. And, like, with that, basically, it's like you have to go in and listen, like, you know, talk to the people, find out, like, you know, get to know the area before you start, like, maybe, like, you know, working on different projects. So you have to put the people in that community to be, like, the main deciders.
The drivers.
Right. It's like, you know, the local people, because they're the experts of their communities. They're the experts. They're the ones that know, like, you know, what is going on in their community.
How long does that process take?
It depends on the personality, I guess, like how good you're relating with people and stuff. For me, I would say, like, it took me for about, like, 2 months or 3 months to start to feel like, you know, I'm really having like honest conversations with people.
Did you know what you were going in to do? When you come in, do you have like an idea of what you want to help the community with?
You go in like not knowing. For example, the areas that I was like placed, I'd never been to that area. So going in was more of like, okay, I should go and get to know people first. Even like languages are a little bit different. So you go in and you're sounding different. People are like, oh, are you Malawian and all that? Even though you're a little actually Malawian. But in time, you start to appreciate, like, okay, what's going on? People start to tell you, like, oh, maybe, like, you know, you came in, for example, when I was going in, it was, like, 2016. We were, like, thinking, like, oh, maybe what people want is, like, water and stuff like that. But when you get on the ground, you find, like, oh, water is not actually a problem in that community. And, like, you know, people start to talk to you, like, okay, no, water is not a problem here. Of course, the southern region where I was placed is known for like water problems. They're like, oh, no, that's not our priority. That's not like, you know, the main priority that we want to focus on. And you have to, like, you know, readjust
to shift. Right. Liz, how do you decide the areas to deploy, and what do you tell your volunteers to expect when they go in?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, we select communities that are high poverty, but also geographically diverse around the country, and communities that have asked for a volunteer, are willing to work with a volunteer, are willing to participate in the project. We tell the volunteers, the most important thing that we try to teach them is that if you want to help somebody, listen to them. And expectations, as you correctly pointed out, are so important, not to have how to manage, how to set your own expectations, and not to have a preconceived expectation of what your service is going to be like, and try to manage the community's expectation of the volunteers, of themselves, understanding the expectations of Core Africa and the volunteers. It's really, expectations are so important.
Limbani talked about a concept, human-centered design. Can you explain to our listeners what that is?
Sure. Human-centered design is it's a sort of a structure to the facilitation process. It's a process that volunteers, it gives them some tools to manage the conversation, make sure everybody's heard, to understand the nuances that are going on so you can bring people to consensus. Really, it's about engaging the community and helping them identify their highest priority development needs so you can bring them together around a project, a solution, some project that's going to meet their self-identified needs.
And Limani, what's the name of the area that you worked in?
I was placed in a village called Likoswe, but it's in Chirazulu, southern region of Malawi.
And when you were going in, what did you think you were going to do? And what did you end up doing?
Well, with human-centered design, it's like, you don't have to have your answers already because you don't know what is on the ground. I tried to limit that, but of course, I like, let's say, like playing football, and I get along mostly with the youth. So I was like, when I was going in, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to find, to do something with the youth.
That's going to be your starting point.
Yeah, that's going to be my starting point. But at the end of my service, like some of the things that I did, of course, I worked with the youth. Like I had like a football team for like under 14 kids that I was trying to help them and like, help them with like homeworks through that. I also helped the community to construct the nursery school, the first nursery school for like the community. I also had like a poultry project that was necessarily meant to like help families, like, to, of course, learn the art of, like, keeping poultry, but also, like, producing eggs from that. And it kind of, like, helped with, like, income generation at the household level. I helped with, like, managing, like, helping, like, the community to work together better on, like, managing a borehole. Because, like, there was, like, a partner organization had constructed a borehole for them, but, like, they were having problems, like,
Maintaining it
itself. So I did help with that as well.
Okay. Did you have knowledge for any of these things, or is you just
not really? I mean, it's like some of the things like you learn on the go. So for example, when people were saying like, okay, we want like our problem is like income, like on a household level we struggle with like making like income and stuff. So I looked around, like, in the community, okay, what's going on in this community? Like, okay, what can we do?
And to like, increase your income.
Yeah. And, like, people mentioned that, in the past, one of the organizations had, like, helped them, like, train with, like, poultry management, but it didn't really go well. So I looked at that as, a strength, like, okay, people already have a little bit of knowledge in terms of poultry, but also that community is really close to, like, a government research extension. So my trick was mostly like the management of it, like trying to connect different resources to make things work.
Okay. Liz, what happens when the volunteers like Limbani leave these communities where they've been working for the deployment is a 1 year deployment. What happens after they leave? How are the projects that they started sustained?
Another good question. We do sometimes replace volunteers with another volunteer to follow up. But really the purpose of the volunteer is to, during their service, is to build the capacity of the community and to transfer their skills and identify somebody in the village that, can be their counterpart and can continue the project. And the whole point of working with the community and having the projects come from them, they also have to contribute a small amount, 10% in cash for the project itself, is that they have ownership of it, and they're much more likely to sustain it over time.
Right.
And also another point as far as the training of the volunteers, we don't train them in to be experts in all of the issues that are happening in the village. We train them in the listening skill, the human-centered design. We also connect them to the NGOs that are doing a lot of the great work in the country so that they can see what kind of resources. If it's a water project, they can go find water NGOs and work with them to develop the project. And if it's a water project they end up doing, they become an expert in the water project. So it's not about going in as the expert. It's going in and listening and really being a liaison to the resources.
Okay. So the community does have some sort of investment into the projects, and there's a willingness with the community. You saw a willingness for them to actually participate because they realize the value that you're bringing, or that this has for their community long term.
Yeah, there was a willingness. And like, I think one thing that I found was interesting is like, I've seen, like, from, like, my experience, like, most of the times people, when they're doing this kind of projects, let's say, like, chicken, they try to make people, like, keep them as a collective. And that creates, like, some challenges in terms of like, oh, there's just going to be a few people who are really like participating. And even like, you know, when you say people should contribute, it becomes a challenge. But what I did is like every person was going to get their chicks and keep them at their own place. So, you know, in that way, it's easy for people to pay their money because they know like, okay, these chickens are going to be in my home. And I'm going to be the one taking care of them rather than, okay, if we're doing it on a group, they're going to be somewhere else. People are kind of hesitant to.
Right.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Welcome back. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. We are talking about volunteerism in Africa. What does it take to be a volunteer? Is volunteerism an African concept? Are there any personal gains to being a volunteer? How can you be a volunteer in your own community? In the studio with me is Limani Kamanga, a young volunteer from Malawi. And on the phone is Liz Fanning. She's the founder of CoAfrica.
Liz, you said the community asks before you actually deploy your volunteer in their community. How many countries are you working in right now? How many countries do you have volunteers in?
Right now we're in Morocco, Senegal, Malawi, and Rwanda. A diverse project, I'd say a lot of water projects, irrigation projects, agriculture, sustainable agriculture, like Limbani did, the animal husbandry and projects to, you know, economic development for farm animals and agricultural issues. A lot of schools, renovating schools, school libraries, book drives for school libraries, renovating community centers so that people in a village have a place to congregate and do women's literacy classes. We do projects with computers, bringing a computer, a lot of electricity projects, really all sorts of projects, a lot of health projects. Most of the volunteers, like Limbani was talking about, volunteer in schools. They tutor the kids. So they're all engaged in the activities in the schools and working with the teachers. So, and it's really what's so important to be wary of is that, you know, an education project is not necessarily around a school. Sometimes an education project is to build a bridge so you can reach a school on the other side of the valley.
Interesting.
You know, these communities are all really complex and unique. And so having a person live in the village for a long period of time and listen to the community and come up with the solutions with them can create a comprehensive approach to addressing their needs.
Most communities have their own unique problems and unique challenges, but do you ever find instances where one community has the same problem or challenge as another one, say in West Africa and you're in East Africa, so in Senegal and Morocco, and you apply the same solution? And you're like, you know, we've done this here and we can apply it right here and it would work perfect.
That's exactly the I think one of the great powers of CoAfrica is that we have this community where we can share best practices and challenges and solutions, et cetera. And, you know, challenges is a really important thing to talk about in this world as well. You know, there's a lot of failure in development and you need to talk about failure, why things don't work so that you can learn from them. In science, you learn as much from the failures as from the successes. And the important thing is to capture that and share it with others, and that can turn it into a solution. So having the volunteers, not just in their own country, but in the other countries, connected to each other and talking about what's happening, they can really multiply their impact.
In case you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. On the line is Liz Fanning, founder of CoAfrica. In the studio, I'm joined by Limbani Kamanga from Malawi, one of the first volunteers of CoAfrica. We're talking about CoAfrica, the work that they're doing. But Liz, I want to ask you, actually, let me start here in the studio with you, Limbani. Did you ever learn about volunteerism in Malawi in school? Is that something that they taught you?
No, not really. I think, like, you know, growing up, like, I'm used just to see, like, Peace Corps volunteers. Like, you know, you just see, like, oh, an American in some rural Malawi. Like, I grew up in a rural Malawi. So, like, once in a while, I would get, like, there would be, like, you know, a Peace Corps volunteer out there. But, like, we didn't really understand that concept. And even, like, the concept of, like, volunteerism is, like, something that is never really touched on in the school curriculum, per se. Mm. I mean, historically, there was, like, a national service that was going on, but I think that got compromised with, like, politics and all that, and it was dissolved. So since then, like, we haven't really had, like, the volunteership concept hasn't really been much of a conversation in Malawi.
When you saw Peace Corps volunteers in your communities, what did you think? Did it compute for you? Did it make sense for you that you have these people here providing free services or helping?
Of course, I was a kid then, so I didn't really understand the technicalities of it. But you know, as I started getting growing older and, like, hearing of, like, Peace Corps, no, I mean, it didn't really resonate. And, like, because you don't see it on the ground, you know, you mentally just start to think, like, okay, maybe this volunteership is just, like, for Westerners and stuff. Like, oh, we can't do that. Like, you know, you don't think of it as something that, I mean, you need, like, needs to be happening even, you know, among locals themselves.
Liz, tell us about your experience as a volunteer in Morocco. That's where you worked as a volunteer, as a young volunteer. How did the community see you? Like, did they understand what you're there for, what you were doing?
Oh, gosh. I would say, I mean, they did. Over time. I mean, the whole point of Peace Corps is that you live there for a long period of time, and it's about having the time to build the understanding and the trust and the friendship that really makes for a successful development. But I think that, you know, it's not a secret that the biggest impact of the Peace Corps, or one of the biggest impacts, is on the volunteers themselves. So in the Core Africa model, that stays in the country as well and continues to benefit the country. Mm. But I really want to just say that I think that the best thing that the Peace Corps does is the fact that young Africans want to be Peace Corps volunteers. I think is extraordinary, and we want to, you know, the fact that there wasn't an opportunity for them to do that was why I started Core Africa. I think it's great that our volunteers collaborate with Peace Corps volunteers in the field. It's a powerful combination to have, you know, the objectivity and the expertise of the American, but also the local knowledge and the language and the sustainability of a local volunteer. Partnering with them is a powerful combination. So we don't want to replace Peace Corps, but we want to complement it, and there's a really, really big role for local volunteers.
Do you feel that it is something that should be actively taught in schools, that, like Limbani said, this concept is a little alien to them? Young people, yeah, understanding what, you know, volunteerism is and what it entails. Do you feel that one of the ways would be to have schools, either from primary education or secondary school or postgraduate, to learn how or the benefits of volunteerism, or to be given the opportunity of volunteering?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a really powerful thing to be able to be part of the solution for your own country. And, you know, to point out also that Core Africa and Peace Corps, these are experiences that not everybody is going to want to do. It's not for everyone. And that's part of what makes it a powerful community, that, you know, you have something very special about somebody who wants to, by choice, go live in a high poverty village for an extended period of time and learn their language and live with them and help them. It's a real commitment. It's a full year of your life to, you know, most of our volunteers are right out of college before they start the career and family track. You know, they want to take a year and get out of their comfort zone and have this, be open to having this transformative experience, and also be part of this community that hopefully will bring them personal and professional benefits for the rest of their lives. Mm. So as far as volunteerism, this is just one type of volunteerism. And I do want to point out that we do pay the volunteers a small living stipend so that they can focus on being successful at their site. So they don't have to bring their own money to do this. They're not going to save any money or be able to take care of anybody else. But it is, we do take care of the volunteers so that they can focus on their experience and their service.
Let me ask this question to both of you. Are there any benefits, or what are the advantages of having an African volunteer in an African community, as opposed to, say, having an American come in as a young American come in to work as a volunteer?
That I think the real impact of that is going to take some time to see, but there does seem to be a lot. I think the villages have a higher expectations of the local volunteers than they do of the Americans, who are, you know, more foreign to them.
Mm.
And there's also the sustainability of coming to the village speaking. Usually they speak at least the primary language of the country, so they have that in common. They can communicate on day one, and they understand the culture. I think they can be better mentors for the young people because they're not, you know, they're more relatable. And the relationships that they build are much stronger as far as long term. Their families become close. I don't know, Limbani, did your host family get to know your family from your home? Did they ever meet? Are they still in touch? And how in touch are you with your community?
Well,
a couple of years ago.
Well, like, yeah, my family visited once during my year, and they got to meet like my host family, so that was nice. And like, I mean, I'm not sure right now, but like, you know, there was still like contact after my service. But like, in terms of like, I just want to like, you know, add on like the benefits of it, even like, you know, Africans serving as volunteers in their particular like countries. There's an issue of like relatability that Liz talked about is easy, like, you know, for especially from the rural community members' point of view. Like to get like someone who they can understand, it takes away that kind of like strangeness and stuff. And if you're talking of like the issue of like not coming with answers, you know, it's a 1 year service. It kind of helps that you're already Malawian. You can easily like, you know, start to get to understand each other.
Mm.
But also like how Liz also mentioned, like the impact can also be is also on the volunteer. You know, for youth especially, most of the times it's easy to be like, you know, on the bandwagon of just pointing things that are going wrong in our countries and stuff. But like having a platform like this to go and live actually in the community, rural communities, and actually work on like solving problems, it gives you like a different perspective of like, okay, what is going to take to like start uplifting our countries and stuff. Thank you.
We haven't also mentioned a whole other side of the program. Once they serve for a year in their own country, the Core Africa volunteers can go serve in another Core Africa country. So we have Malawians serving in Senegal and Rwanda and Moroccans serving in Malawi. I mean, all around. So that's really promoting this Pan-African community and this, you know, promoting understanding and solidarity between African nations, which is very powerful.
What are you looking for in a volunteer?
Well, Limbani is a good example. We're looking for idealistic young people who are eager to find a way to help their country, who are adventurous, and also the most important quality we look for is judgment and character and maturity. Because they are going off on their own, and they're, you know, it's a big responsibility to go off and live in a village and try to help people. So we really look for the kind of humility and empathy. You know, the Core Africa, the training and the service provides a lot to the volunteers, but they come to us already with so much integrity and character, you know, that comes from their families and their communities growing up. The fact that they choose to do this says so much about them. And that's why I think we've been so successful, that there are so many young Africans who are just full of ideas and enthusiasm and eagerness to get out there and to figure out a way to help. So we're just building on that. We're just giving them an opportunity to do that. But they're the ones stepping up and doing it. And, you know, it's really, it's very helpful.
Cool. And with that, we come to the end of our show today. My thanks to Limbani Kamanga and Liz Fanning. Limbani is from Malawi, and Liz is here from here in the US. She's the founder of Core Africa. And we want to thank you for tuning into the show today, whether you're streaming online or listening in on radio from wherever you are in Africa or other parts of the world. We hope you can continue this conversation. Connect with us on our social media platforms, especially on our Facebook. Go to Facebook and search for Upfront Show VOA. Connect with us, like the page, share with your friends, and leave a comment. We are always updating the show on the page with new information on a range of issues, especially of concern
to our audience in Africa and in the diaspora. Remember, as our elders say, leading a race does not mean you will win it. I'm Jackson Bunganyi. Good day, Africa.
This is VOA News. I'm Gene Randall.